Well, looking back, Bruce, a lot of it I didn't think would ever happen. I wanted to be in broadcasting all my life, and I never thought it would come to pass. But when it did come to pass, it was meeting good people like yourself, by the way, and I managed to get along with them, and they gave me an even keel. The people that I worked with, and a lot of that had to do with Willard. Willard and I were a team for a while, and then when he went in the Navy and I had to do it alone, the management thought enough of me to realize that I probably could do it, and so that was a good thing for me, I think.
You guys became virtual legends quickly.
Well, we did, sort of. We met in college at American University. I was a freshman. No, I was a sophomore. Willard was a freshman, and he was looking the place over, and he came by the campus radio station, and this is in his book. I'm sure people are sick of hearing this, but Roger Gordon, who is a mutual friend of ours, had Willard up the station showing him around, hoping he'd go to AU. And I was in the radio stage studio doing a show, you know, a shakedown cruise or something. And Willard said, Roger said, Willard, go over there in the studio there with Eddie. He can't see you anyway. He won't know what you say. Say some smart ass remark and see what he did. So he did. And I did. And he did. And that's how the Joy Boys were born, really. We had a lot of fun together. We used to do a lot of our work at home. And my father used to tell us, he'd hear us the next day, and he'd say, "You guys must have a good show this week." I said, "We thought so." He said, "It sounded like it to me." So, we had a lot of fun doing that. And
how'd you come up with some of the characters that you created, like Balmer Benny?
We had fertile minds at that time, I guess. And Baltimore Benny, that came from the fact that I used to go to school in Baltimore and traveled on the Baltimore Transit Company a lot. And when you're traveling like that, you sit and you hear other voices, a lot of them with accents.
You had the accent down, hon.
That's right, Ace, I'll tell you. Every fink is tickety-boo. One time, I was in Baltimore, and I had a job over there, and I had a mitt. They had a mitt that had transit on one side and taxi on the other, and you hold that up, and a cab would stop by. This cab stopped. He says, "Where are you going at, Ace?" So I got in the cab with him. He says, "Where'd you get that thing?" I said, "What?" That thing you got in your hand here to call the cab. "That's the neatest thing I've ever seen in my life." He said, that's great. So I loved the Baltimore accent. It's fun. And living over there for a while, I got to meet a lot of them, and it was fun.
And you spent a lot of time at MAL in the years after that.
Oh, yeah, I did. When I hit the WMAL, what happened there was when I was at Channel 7, which owned MAL at the time, and I was at Channel 7, and I got a call from the program director over there, and he said, Jim Evans, you remember Jim? Jim had gotten into hot water, as he always did, said something on the air, and they canned him, and he was on Sunday morning. So I got a call, so would you be interested in doing a Sunday morning radio show? I said, really? Yeah. I love radio. I was doing television just because I had to. So they took me on Sunday morning, and that was the beginning of the program Play It Again, Ed. And started out, they'd give me a trial. I could play my kind of music from 8 to 10, and then you had to play the formatted stuff from 10 to 1. And it went over so well, the our kind of music, that they pretty quickly said, you know, do the kind of music you like the whole time. And it was great. It was the number one radio show on, I guess, AM and FM on Sundays in those days.
Nice. And I guess we happened in the mid-80s.
That's right. You were doing traffic.
Right.
At, the station was WRC. WWRC then.
Right.
And
we got along pretty good in the mornings.
Yes, we did. We could get around on the air a lot and everything. So when they decided to go the talk format, I don't know if it's Ken Milgren or Ted Dorff or who it was, they said, let's put these guys on together. And I thought it worked out pretty well.
And that was before talk radio became a food fight.
Yeah, that's right. And I thought it went well. And
well, we had fun.
We did have fun. And that was the trick. That was the secret of what I liked about radio. It was fun. And it's ceasing to be fun, I think, now. We had a lot of fun. We did things that were kind of wacky and never in bad taste, I don't think. I don't think we ever offended anybody.
I bet we did.
Well, maybe on second thought, maybe we did. The more power to us.
Yeah. So let's jump to the big broadcast.
Well, the big broadcast was started as the first, as the longest-running radio show on WAMU. And it was done by a guy named John Hickman. John Hickman created it, and then he had to give it up at a very young age. He had problems and had to give up the show, and they tapped me to do it, knowing that I knew a little about old-time radio, and I did it. And I started doing the show 45 years ago.
Wow.
So the show has been on the air 64 years. I've been doing it 45 years, and I'll say this for the station. They very rarely ever stepped on me or what I wanted to do. But anyway, I did this show for John while he was ill. They had me saying, this is Ed Walker for John Hickman. We kept doing that week after week after week. And finally got a call from the program director. He said, you might as well forget doing it for John Hickman. He's not coming back. Well, he did come back, tried to do 1 hour, the final hour, but John had tremendous problems with speech as a result of the stroke. And he got very angry and frustrated, and he finally gave it up, and I took over the whole show.
Nice.
And so it's been.
And your listeners know when you're not there, too. They call, they complain, where's Ed?
They do. And I don't know who's going to take it over. We don't know. All we know is the show will continue. The people like the old radio shows. It's not me that they like so much. It's the old-time programs. So if we can get the right person with the right amount of programs, you know, it'll be the same kind of a show. Minus me.
I got a feeling they kind of like you, too.
Well, thank you. I hope so. I love it, and it's been a dear love of mine for years to do that show every week.
Tell me again about, you know, your feelings about doing the last show.
Well, the last show is, I'll be honest, we've already recorded it, but it was a real tearjerker for me. I'll tell you, it wasn't easy, and Toby Schreiner, my engineer, we all got teary, and it was a very unhappy moment, but and that's another thing. I worked with the same engineer for 20 years on that show, and you don't have that happen in radio much anymore, but he was good. He was a good editor. I would go in and record the shows, and he'd make them sound good, you know?
Yeah.
And that's half of it. But
I guess one of the biggest things when you retire from our business is you don't have the audience anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have to regale your neighbors with stories now.
Yeah, it's true. So it's been a long, I've forgotten how many years, Bruce. Let's see.
130, 134. Something like that.
We're getting there. It's up there, but it just, I don't know, the memories keep rushing back, and I'll remember them as long as I live. And I'm sorry that it had to end like this, but you never have any control over that. And so I made the choice I thought was best by just stepping aside from the big broadcast and letting somebody younger do it, somebody who had the enjoyment of the old radio that I did, and then it won't suffer too badly. So the person who takes over probably will have as much love for it as I did, and I hope they do.
Well, I probably will, but the show won't be the same without you.
Well, thank you, Bruce. It's great to know when I turn on the radio and hear you on the air that, you know, I sit there and I say, that's my boy.
Nice.